A centennial farm is a farm, it's a designation here in Colorado. It's an award given out annually at the Colorado State Fair for a family who has been on the same farm, tilling the same land for over 100 years.
That's longevity there. They get a license plate. What do they get?
They receive a beautiful sign. They can have it on their lawn. They can put it on a fence, a tree. But, it's one of those things when you're traveling around the state and you see one of those centennial farms plaques, it's really something incredible.
100 years, the same family doing anything is notable, but a farm with the kind of legacy that farms have. You brought us a clip from this Thursday night's documentary. Set it up for us.
Sure. So part of our experience this summer, we were traveling around. We visited a farm, actually a ranch out on the Western Slope in a town called Austin, Colorado. I'm not sure if you've heard of it, but it's in Delta County. So it's out on the Western Slope. It's an area known for its fruit trees, which is pretty incredible. And we met a farmer named Ed Heiss, and he shared this amazing story. This clip you'll hear talks a little bit about both his grandfather and his father. So you hear about multiple generations of his family on the Heiss Ranch.
In about the early 20s, my granddad decided that they needed a way to market the fruit. So they built a packing house down in Austin. It was a big railhead then, and so they would ship the fruit here as far as Kansas City from right here in Austin. He said the only way he could ever make sure that the fruit got there in good condition was to go with it. So he'd get on the train here in Austin and go with the fruit wherever it went to make sure it got to where it was in good condition. They had a dry ice plant, and that's what they used to put in the rail cars. My granddad ran this till the 50s, and then my mom and dad took this over. My dad developed a half pear, half apple. It was a delicious fruit. It looked like an apple and tasted like a pear. It was crisp like an apple, fairly juicy like an apple. They were great.
That's fantastic.
You don't really associate fruit with Colorado, but if you know, they grow what, apples and cherries over there?
And peaches. Apparently the Western Slope is really well known for its peaches. Yeah. And I mean, I've tried them. I don't know if you have, but
the Palisade peaches,
fantastic, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah. That's something you look for in the fall. When are the peaches in? When are the melons in from Rocky Ford?
Exactly.
There are, of course, we know Colorado's a huge agricultural state. It's the mountains don't even start till you get halfway across the state. How many different kinds of farms, or what did you find enough to profile?
When I was working on this episode, I really felt we needed to showcase farms, not just in one area. We needed to reach out to the entire state. So we went out to the Western Slope, Heiss Ranch. You just heard that clip.
Yeah.
And we also had the opportunity to head down to the San Luis Valley, which is a beautiful high alpine valley situated in the south central portion of the state. And we visited the Salazar Farm and Ranch. And what was so incredible, I thought, was that there are six generations of Salazars who have been working the same land for, over 100 years, closer to 150 plus years.
Is this the Salazar family?
Yes, it is the Salazar family.
A centennial farm family.
Wow. Yes. So we spent an entire day. We met multiple members of the fifth generation, but also the sixth generation. And what I thought was so cool and interesting was that the sixth generation now, they're in their 20s, their 30s, their 40s. They are trying to innovate and find new ways to keep the farm active. We met Lucas Salazar, who talks about how he's creating a new jerky plant process. Well, not a plant, it's small, a little bit smaller. Yeah,
I'm all about the jerky.
Right, but he's trying to innovate and find new ways to make the farm work for him, to make it his own. Mm. We also traveled up to Fort Collins, Colorado, so north of Denver, and we were able to visit the Bee family farm. And what they shared with us was that their farm used to raise sugar beets, which apparently Colorado was really well known for processing sugar, which I thought was incredible. Apparently, beets were the major cash crop in Colorado for a number of years. And
great Western sugar, Colorado.
Exactly.
Beets.
Sugar beets.
Yeah. As the story goes, Charles Betcher headed over to Germany on a family vacation, empties out a suitcase, filled it up with sugar beet seeds, came back to Colorado and realized this was the best.
Wow.
This is the best climate for growing sugar beets. We were able to learn that story. One fun fact I learned when working on the story up in Fort Collins was that, sugar beets are very labor intensive. So you have to go out there and do everything by hand. You have a really cool tool that kind of looks like a machete, but has like a nail hook at the end. But anyways, During World War II, there were actually prisoner of war camps for German soldiers in Colorado, and the prisoners would head out and help with the labor, that high intensity labor, and help pick sugar beets. So, you know, there are a lot of really interesting stories that run through all these farms, a lot of amazing history. And I thought, you know, one of the most incredible things we learned this year was really just hearing those personal stories, hearing about the grandfather and the great grandfather and the great grandmother and what life was like on the farm.
Maria Rodriguez McGill is a producer at Rocky Mountain PBS. Her documentary on Centennial Farms runs this Thursday. As you talk to these families, what do they tell you? I mean, I guess if you get a couple, three, four generations down the road and you have a big enough family, you can sustain it. Nobody's going to bail and say, that's it, we're done, nobody wants it, we're selling.
Yeah, well, that's the challenge.
They're kind of on a roll.
Yeah, well, you know, I think one of the challenges today is that, when these families first started farms over 100 years ago, they had the small family farm. We didn't have the equipment that we had today, so it was a horse that was out there with a plow, so the farms were smaller. The thing is today that now that we have increased mechanization, I think the Salazars were telling me a statistic where, you know, to buy a tractor, for each horsepower, it's $1,000. So if you think about that, a tractor is really, really expensive. So it's hard to go out there today and start a farm. It's hard to keep a farm in the family. And, you know, you can have acres and acres and acres, and sometimes the dollar signs just don't meet up with the effort and the history there. So keeping a farm in a family for over 100 years is a huge effort, a huge challenge, a huge accomplishment, and very impressive.
Yeah. One thing that no matter what age it is, farm work is hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Period. I mean, the old saying, go work on a farm. Oh, no. I'd rather be in the city. You know, that's
tough.
It's time
to fix it. You're fixing it.
Yeah.
Mario Rodriguez McGill with the documentary on Colorado Centennial Farms Thursday night at 7:30. Now, be warned, history geeks will get to rmpbs.org. They'll click on Colorado Experience, and an hour later, you'll wonder what happened to your day, because there are so many cool pictures, videos, and stories of Colorado history, our young state.
Yes, Mario, very young state.
thank you for digging deep. History geeks love it.
Woo!